for dairy producers. This amendment is consistent with 80% of the underlying legislation, but does not include the controversial supply management piece. Our amendment offers a compromise that incorporates the two-tier premium structure that is in both the underlying bill and the Senate-passed bill, while eliminating the stabilization program, which is a complex government intervention. Consistent with the direction of the rest of the farm support reforms in this bill, our amendment gives farmers the tools to manage their risk without requiring them to participate in yet another government program. The new Title I programs and our existing insurance programs do not require producers to participate in government supply management. Why should dairy be different? A supply control program that will directly intervene in markets and increase milk prices will ultimately hurt producers as well as dairy food manufacturers by stifling industry growth. I want to take a minute to explain how the ranking member's supply management program works. It requires government intervention in commercial transactions, pulling private sector funds out of the economy and away from farmers into the United States Treasury. Even those producers who signed up for the free, catastrophic coverage would be required to reduce their supply on all milk produced when prices fall below $6, regardless of whether those farmers bought premiums to the $6 level and up. Further, supply management would apply to all of the milk produced, not just that amount which is over the trigger levels. Even if this program rarely triggers, a complete new set of regulations will be required of manufacturers to track and report current and historical production shipments, which suppliers are in and out of the program, require new accounting and record keeping, audits, tracking, and potential enforcement penalties if someone miscalculates the growth penalty fees. This level of market intervention is unprecedented and unjustified. It's inconsistent with the direction of this farm bill, and it ignores the repeated failures we've seen when we've tried supply management in dairy and other commodities in previous decades. Our amendment is affordable. Unlike the chairman's mark, our amendment does not include annual fees to be made by dairy farmers, and most dairy farmers will actually pay nothing for catastrophic coverage and pay less in premiums for higher levels of coverage. In addition, dairy farmers will not be subjected to lost income caused by the stabilization program. According to a study by Dr. Mark Stevenson, Director of Dairy Policy Analysis at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, our amendment would have provided support in 10 months of the very difficult 2009 year and would also help producers in 2012. Not only does the margin insurance provide payments to help with low milk prices and high feed costs, according to Dr. Stevenson, it will help producers manage and rein in market volatility. In this country, 90% of dairy farmers have fewer than 200 to 250 cows, and they will all be treated better under our amendment than under the chairman's mark. First, the margin insurance is simple. It is not tied to a convoluted supply management that penalizes them with payment deductions when a government formula triggers inside the beltway. The cost of our margin insurance is less for 90% of farmers, the premiums are lower, and there are no annual sign-up fees. However, in addition to small farmers who support this amendment, many of the largest dairies in this country support our amendment. These dairy farmers know that paying a modest premium for their production above the 250 cow level is a better deal for them than getting saddled with supply management. I know my colleagues on both sides of the aisle in this committee have been pressured into thinking that supply management in the dairy title is the only way to get the farm bill passed. I reject that premise. David Scott and I have developed a viable bipartisan alternative. Please join us to support a revenue insurance program that will help dairy producers without including a government-controlled supply management program. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back his time.
Mr. Chairman.
Does the gentleman from Georgia wish to be recognized to strike the last word?
I move to strike the last word. The
gentleman recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment that I offer today with my colleague from across the aisle, Bob Goodlett, will keep milk and dairy products affordable for consumers, and that is the main point. Our proposed amendment would strike the dairy market stabilization program that is included in the chairman's mark, and it's based on H.R. 3062, the Dairy Security Act, offered by ranking member Colin Peterson. and replace it with a standalone margin insurance program for dairy producers. This amendment moves dairy policy in the right direction. It keeps most of what is in the ranking member's bill. It only gets rid of three existing dairy programs that are not performing and offers our farmers a new risk management program that will give them the stability and support that they need without the controversial and flawed supply management element that penalizes not just consumers, but the rest of the entire dairy industry as well. Speaking for my farmers, this amendment is actually more affordable to them than the underlying bill. The premiums are less, and there are no hidden annual fees. What's more, my farmers are not going to face growth penalties from supply management, and this stabilization program actually takes money away from farmers, and it requires the buyers, the dairy food manufacturers, to send the payments to the Department of Agriculture instead. These dairy companies would face a morass of new regulations under this program, and some of these companies are small businesses. Without the resources to dedicate the extra accountants, the extra personnel, to tracking the amount of milk they receive from individual farmers. And what's worse, companies would be subject to new audits and penalties if they miscalculate even one piece of this program. This amendment provides important farm support, but it doesn't penalize the dairy food manufacturers. And it doesn't sting our consumers. Our amendment is a solid consumer protection amendment. All of the national consumer organizations have written to us opposing this stabilization program and supporting our amendment. And this stabilization program leaves everything else in place except this one part. So the ranking member is actually getting the majority of what he seeks for this industry. But he should not get a new supply management program for dairy. We should not turn the dairy program into something like the sugar program. As we know, milk, cheese, ice cream, and yogurt are in the top 10 most purchased items in supermarkets. The stabilization program is specifically designed to reduce supplies and raise milk prices. When that happens, we know that the consumption of healthy dairy products goes down because price increases are passed on to consumers. And it impacts the families who have the fewest resources first. Lower incomes, seniors who are on fixed incomes, who spend a higher proportion of their income on food than other consumers. The Farm Bill also includes a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the SNAP program, which many members of this committee, along with myself, want to protect. Yet increased costs to consumers of dairy products also means that programs like SNAP will pay more for dairy products or simply stop helping tens of thousands of people in need. Now, please let me just reemphasize for a moment that the stabilization program that our amendment will take out would artificially reduce the supply of milk throughout this country, thereby increasing milk and dairy product prices for consumers. As milk prices increase, our lower income consumers are hit especially hard. These are tough economic times. And as I mentioned, it is a fact that they spend a higher proportion of their income on food than all other consumers. This amendment actually saves more money than the underlying dairy bill. And yet it is more affordable for small farmers, with premiums for farmers with 250 cows or fewer that are lower than those included in the chairman's mark. There are no payment limits, and farms of all sizes can select any amount of milk production up to 80% of the operation's historic milk production and buy margin protection in 50-cent increments from $4 to $800 per hundred weight. Unlike the chairman's mark, our amendment does not include annual fees to be paid by dairy farmers. And most dairy farmers will actually pay less in premiums for equivalent coverage. In addition, dairy farmers will not be subjected to lost income caused by the stabilization program. Now, we all know dairy regulations are complex, but they're also outdated and they're inefficient. And proposed reforms in this farm bill should strike the right balance between farmers and between manufacturers and between consumers. And our amendment does just that. This is a bipartisan amendment. Democrats and Republicans support it. And it makes sense for all of us to vote for it. In a milk deficit district like mine in Georgia, we need as much access to nutritious, healthy dairy products as we can get. And to let the government come in and limit that access would be a shame. Our citizens of the United States of America and the entire world population deserve an abundant, affordable, and sustainable food supply. And I ask my fellow members of the House to support the revenue insurance bill and support this amendment that will help dairy products without including government-controlled supply management program. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Gentlemen's time has expired. The chair strikes the last word and recognizes himself for 5 minutes. I want to thank the gentlemen for their leadership on this issue, and I appreciate their perspective on dairy reform. You know, dairy's never been an easy issue to tackle on the national level. Differences between producers and processors, between regions, even between producers of different sizes have consistently interfered with our ability to reach consensus in national policy. Now, while the last several years have been good for many, if not most, commodity groups, let's be honest, dairy's had one of the worst, most volatile periods in their history. Despite the fact that we do not have unanimity among the dairy industry, I do think that the recent challenges confronting the dairy sector have led to what we're seeing now as a broad consensus for many elements of the reform package under consideration in the committee mark. The package we have before us is a good faith effort on the part of most industry participants to achieve balance among regions, operation sizes, among industry sectors. Not everyone is happy. I know my good friends would like to see changes, but I also know my friends understand the need for this industry to move forward with or without the changes they are proposing. I'm of the opinion that the changes being proposed by my good friends in the Goodlatte-Scott Amendment would fracture an already fragile industry consensus and delay our ability to move forward with these necessary reforms. For that reason, I must respectfully, of course, oppose the amendment and encourage all of my colleagues to do the same. With that, I yield back the balance of my time. I recognize the ranking member to strike the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I recognize for 5 minutes.
I move to strike the last word. And, you know, I have been working on this for 2.5 years. And, you know, I've probably been around this place too long because I have been through the wars on the whole herd buyout and all this other stuff that we've done all over the years. And while my good friends, Mr. Goodlatte and Mr. Scott, I think are doing this with, you know, the right, you know, they're doing what they think is right, this is a recipe for disaster. Because, you know, the history of what we've been through in the past. We went through, as the chairman said, the worst situation in 09 that we've ever gone through in dairy. We lost a huge amount of equity. We cannot afford another year like that. We'll have the folks that are pushing this amendment will have a problem because there won't be enough milk to fill their plants. That's what will happen. That's the reality, whatever your ideology is. So when we went through the 09 situation, it was bad. But it would have been a heck of a lot worse if we wouldn't have had the CWT program where the industry went in and paid to move this milk. We had all this excess milk, and they took the CWT, they assessed their members, and they moved the milk into the marketplace or into the export market to get rid of it, and it shortened and dampened the downturn. The problem is that 70% of the producers paid for it. The other 30% got a free ride. But they went ahead and did it, and they did what had to be done. This proposal that's in here now does not require anybody to buy this insurance. You don't have to participate. You don't have to be involved in this stabilization fund. But you can't buy margin insurance unless you are. And the reason for that is that if we get in an oversupply situation like we did in 2009, we think everybody should participate. Anybody that's getting government help should be part of the solution. And that's what this does. And that's why the industry came around this. Now, you go back to 2009, you talk about the consumers. What a bunch of nonsense. We had the lowest milk prices in history, and did anybody cut their prices at the retail level? No, they raised them. I mean, give me a break. You're going to hear the same thing on sugar. This is all a bunch of nonsense. These people cannot get stuff cheap enough, and they are never going to cut their prices. So if you want to protect consumers, you would not be for this amendment. You would be against it, because this is the worst anti-consumer amendment that we're going to probably consider today. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to stir up a controversy about what happened before, but in 1996, we went off on an ideological binge, and it blew up on us, and it was supposed to save money. And that was one of the big selling points. We're going to save money. It's free market. You know, we're going to get the government out of agriculture. And what happened? 2 years later, the prices collapsed, and we spent more money in those next 2 years on agriculture than we have ever spent in history. It cost four times as much as we saved. This amendment will have the same effect. You pass this amendment, I will guarantee you this is going to cost 10 times what the savings is at the end of the day in 10 years. And CBO has not scored this correctly. They've missed the ball on this deal. They're projecting that prices are never going to go down. Well, let me tell you something. If you set up a situation where it's $7 margin insurance, this thing is better than what I have, you're going to cause overproduction, you know, and you're going to collapse these prices. And the government's going to pay, and you're not going to be able to stop it. It's going to just get added to the deficit. Now, is that what you want to do? You know, so we have worked this out. It's not perfect. I'm not a huge fan of stabilization, but it's something that we need to do for the next 5 years to transition this program, you know, to hopefully the private sector in 5 years. We can move this thing to livestock gross management once we get people used to using margin insurance. And that's what we're trying to do. So work with us. Don't go off on some ideology and, you know, keep this bill on track.